My bill.
I got an impressive group here this morning that's going to ask for a grant for Vote Rehab. I'm assuming that's the first one. Are you going to start, Doug?
Madam Chair, there are four grants in front of you, and I am happy to say none of them are retroactive. And they're all due within the next few weeks, though, to the federal government, so the timing here is...
We're also happy that you're bringing them before us in a very timely manner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to do a brief overview, real brief, and then I've asked the presenters to keep this real short, as be as efficient as possible and respond to your questions, because I know you want to talk about the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs budget as part of this meeting also. The first grant comes as a joint grant from our Vocational Rehab Division and Senior and Disabled Services Division. It really goes after two goals in the department. The first is to keep seniors in their homes and independent, and the second goal is to employ people with disabilities. And this grant has, as it's presented, it brings both of those goals together in a real nice manner. I'm going to turn this over to Catherine Weber, who's the Assistant Administrator of VRD, and probably is not a stranger to some of you at the table.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Catherine Weber. I'm the Assistant Administrator at Volk Rehab Division, and one of my responsibilities is for information technology. The department is requesting permission to apply for a U.S. Department of Labor grant. The purpose of their RFP is to fund projects that will provide employment in the information technology industry to people with severe disabilities. The proposal we are writing will fund development and training for severely disabled Oregonians who are primarily orthopedic and mobility impaired. Clients will be trained to support frail elderly people who are living in their own homes using smart home and internet technology. We believe that we can combine existing inexpensive smart home technology with an invisible to the user or voice interfaces. Then by adding people with disabilities to provide help desk support and training and to oversee internet access, we will have a viable program. Examples of these services include video phone conferencing with family and caregivers, medication tracking and reminders, virtual visiting home nurse services, internet purchasing such as using homegrocers.com, remote control of lights, locks, and appliances, and monitoring of critical changes. This technology and help desk support is not a replacement for personal caregivers, but rather intended to supplement them in their caregiving roles and to allow them more flexibility in their caregiving. The grant requires a consortium of listed members to apply. We have the tentative commitment of all of the required members and also of others necessary to the success of the project. By the time of the application date, which is May 15th, we expect to have written commitments and participations from Chemeketa Community College, Oregon Health Sciences Center, Kaiser Permanente Center for Healthcare Research, Intel Corporation, Oregon Graduate Institute of Engineering. We have SDSD and VRD's commitment, Shangri-La, which is a local service provider, and Alliance Enterprises, who are technology providers and have helped VRD develop their case management systems. Also, the Workforce and One Stop Centers, which are local, these are also required participants. Additional organizations representing both the Elder Care and Disability Committee have indicated a willingness to support and to participate in the program. The training will be a combination of OJT on the job and classroom training. It will prepare our clients as both computer support specialists and remote personal caregivers. The Department of Labor projects tremendous increases in demand for both of these occupations over the next 10 years. They're forecasting a 58% increase in the demand for personal care attendants and a 102% increase in the demand for computer support specialists. VHS believes that this challenging project will successfully address two huge problems facing Oregon: employment of people with disabilities and the increasing demand for in-home care for our booming elder population. We hope you will give our request favorable consideration.
Madam Chair, LFO recommends approval of the request with the understanding that the Department of Human Services will not request state funding to augment future grant activities. Moreover, LFO recommends that the Department of Human Services report to the Emergency Board on grant activities if the grant is awarded and request additional expenditure limitation if necessary.
Senator Hartung.
What's the amount of this grant?
The amounts being offered are from 3 to 600,000, and we're going to apply for the full 600,000.
Per year, over a period of time, or a one-time grant?
It's a one-time grant, and the grant RFP states that if there's funding available, that it's to the discretion of the feds to continue for additional years.
Catherine, what's the sense from the federal government as to our chances?
I have no idea, Representative Winters. They're not going to award very many grants. It's going to be highly competitive. But we think that this is a pretty unique thing we put together and has a really good chance of being competitive.
You know, sometimes there's already been some conversations with the federal counterpart, and we usually have some kind of feel of whether or not they're favorable. So that's why I asked that question.
Yes, we hope to have those conversations. We found out about this grant about 2 weeks ago.
Thank you. Representative Schrader.
Some questions. The $600,000 will purchase a DHS grant manager and train 12 people with disabilities. It seems like a lot of money for that type of expense.
Representative Schrader, it is a ongoing project. This is phase one, and one of the expenses in the beginning is to evolve the technology. We have a demonstration that is up and running. Actually, it's in my house and in the house of the biomedical engineer that will be part of this. The Oregon Graduate Institute, Intel, and another number of others will be partners in developing and making sure this technology is deployable. It will take the better part of a year to identify and develop the curriculum, et cetera, to get those 12. However, once we have 12 prosumers trained, we believe in the next year that we can become self-funding through the provision of services to the elderly, and that once we've developed the curriculum and have had a year's experience in training those first 12, that it's very, very replicable. In fact, that's one of the ways we've built the grant, so that it will be replicable. This is a starting point.
Follow up.
Since the grant has a limited lifespan, though, how do we pay for the replicability of this training program?
Representative Schrader, we've had a number of conversations with Intel, who has tentatively promised a research grant to supplement this development. Mm-hmm. That grant we've talked about would be in the neighborhood of $250,000. We have also begun looking to other sources, Robert Wood Johnson, Murdoch Foundation, and a number of other private foundations. However, by using some of the ongoing training money that is regular VRD training for clients, we believe that once established that this program will become mainstream. Chemeketa Community College has also expressed an interest in not only training this group, but because it fits so well with their curriculum, they're also interested in the possibilities of offering this as an area of study.
Has this type of program been done before? It seems to me this is an age group that is not particularly technology literate, if you will, and they're especially for frail and elderly. And what's been the track record of this?
Representative Schrader, we involved and got the graduate students over at Willamette about to graduate from their business school. We've done a fair amount of research. And one of the reasons that Intel is interested, as well as Kaiser Healthcare Research, I don't think I got that name exactly right, is exactly the problem that you'd identified. One of the hypotheses that Intel is interested in, it's out of their lab that uses anthropologists, sociologists, et cetera, and they study interfacing for computer systems with different population groups. One of the hypotheses is to use something called development by proxy, and that is to use people with disabilities who are matched with disabilities that of the elderly or challenges of the elderly, and to find and to make the stuff work with the people with disabilities before you port it out to the elderly. And we believe that we can do that. And as far as I'm aware, there has been no other, from our research, anything that's ever been set up to look at in-home care for the elderly using people with disabilities as remote caregivers.
Just a comment. I guess I have some reservations. I mean, it sounds intriguing, but based on my experience with these two budgets in particular and the type of people that we're dealing with, I'm somewhat skeptical that using the technology like this and having this particular combination is going to get us where we really need to go. I don't think we need any more physicians established to do this sort of program. I think that if it's going to work, we supposedly already have an initiative that helps disabled people get jobs and work with the seniors. I'm just concerned that while well-meaning, it seems like a big departure from the core missions of these two agencies, and I'm somewhat skeptical.
Representative Schroeder, it would not require any the establishment of any additional positions, and we will be working, and one of the partners in this will be the Employment Initiative Specialists that are in Marion County.
Chair, maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but like I said, it looks like there is money here to help fund a grant manager in DHS. And
Madam Chair and members, that is correct, but as I understand it, Ms. Weber would be the grant manager. She's already employed by the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, but a portion of her salary would be paid for with this grant. Likewise, one of the principals of Care Wheels would be a contractor, as I understand it, or a member of the consortium that this grant would use. So this does not require any new positions or FTE.
That helps.
Senator Yee.
Hi, Kathleen. Good to see you. Kathleen Weber was former state senator from when?
93 was the session I was here. I was appointed to fill Senator Hill's seat, and then Senator Durfler claimed it after my... Yeah. Leaving it.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Sin.
I have a question. Does it require buying high-tech equipment for the 12 people who are going to be trained?
Yes, Senator, it does. And it isn't exactly high-tech equipment. It will use the internet, and it will also require a computer in the home or at the work site of each of these people. In addition, smart home technology will be available to the people with disabilities so they can live with it in their own home, test it out, and then help us improve it so it will be acceptable and usable by people, the aging, the frail elderly. So we will be purchasing some of that. Most likely it will not belong to the individuals. We found out about this grant, although we've been working on this project for some time, about 2 weeks ago, and we're trying to get all of the details put together. At this point, it appears that what we would do is that the department or the grant applicants would actually own the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Follow up.
So there's money available to purchase equipment or loan equipment to them. But if it's a matter of loan, what would they do after they finish training and can't afford to buy the equipment?
Senator Yee, we would hope to employ them in the project, and as long as they're employed, they would keep the equipment. If they turned over, left, went somewhere else, then we would reclaim it and move it on to the next person. This also another part of the grant is that each of these 12 people will have two other mentees or people in training, so that by the end of year two, our workforce will be whatever the for every one person we put out at the end of the first year, we will have two trained by the end of the second year, which will mean three. So there'll be 36 people who are active and working on the project at the end of 2 years.
Catherine, since Senator Yee mentioned your prior experience as a senator, you might as well just go ahead and tell them that you also was with the department a lot of years ago when you and I worked together.
Yes. Yes, I was. We won't tell anybody exactly how many years.
Any other questions, Mr. Knott? How are you this morning?
Very good, Madam Chair. For the record, I am George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. We also are recommending that you approve this request.
Is there a way we're going to be able to track the success of this program? Is that going to be built in other words, some performance review, if you will, about people who are going to be
the LFO recommendation, I think two things in the recommendation that I think is pertinent, and that is that the department will not request state funding to augment the future grant activities, number one, if they're successful in receiving the grant, and number two, that they're to report back to the emergency board should it be awarded, and I think that probably number three, part of that is that we would, when it's completed, we'd like to know what the successes are.
I'd like that.
Yes. Motion, yes, Representative Schrader.
Despite my initial skepticism, I have been convinced by the overwhelming testimony and logic of my colleagues that we should indeed approve the request as per LFO for the grant for $600,000 from the federal government. To do the Training Administration and Technology Initiative grant here for the state of Oregon.
Would you like to add the provision that they return and give us an evaluation of success program?
Yeah, so in addition to the LFO recommendation, report back on the success and outcomes also.
Madam Chair.
Senator Duncan.
Your vice chair just throws me one curve after the other. I have such great respect for him. I was just about with him, and then I have to go back, and I just can't keep up. It's just hard. It's hard for real older people to bounce back. And
speak for yourself.
Representative Schrader moves that we accept LFO's recommendation plus the inclusion that the agency returns and gives us an evaluation as to the success of the program should they be successful in getting the grant.
Madam Chair, for clarification, do they report to emergency board during the interim and to
yes.
the legislature? At the end of the biennium.
We will include both stipulations, that the return to the emergency board and to the next legislative session. Is there any objection? If not, so approved.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the second grant is a Health Division grant, Healthy Homes Demonstration Education Program. Cohen is here. This grant is a grant from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Affairs, and the department's interest in this grant was that it addresses issues that come out of the Governor's Task Force on Multicultural Health and our continuing interest in there, and specifically around lead poisoning and asthma. And I'll turn this over to our state epidemiologist, Mel Cohen.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Dr. Mel Cohn, state epidemiologist at the Health Division of the Department of Human Services. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think this is a very interesting and potentially very exciting grant for us to be applying for, in particular because it allows us to try to demonstrate and evaluate some interventions for the prevention of the particular problems that Doug has already referred to. What we're planning on doing is working together with our community partners to identify homes in North and Northeast Portland that are likely to have hazards with regard to asthma and or lead poisoning to enable those homes to get evaluated and then to, if those hazards are indeed present, to work to get them remediated through kind of a case management approach. Again, these are serious and important health hazards. We believe that at the Health Division. They've been identified as such by the Governor's Task Force on Racial and Ethnic Health, and we would like to have the opportunity to try to address them in a preventive manner through this grant.
I do have a couple questions, and I've been receiving some information even before session started on this particular issue, and know that it's worthwhile. But should you identify that there is some problems with the homes, and what mechanism or what are you going to do in order to ameliorate those problems? And I'm looking at the economies now. If you go into a home and you say, well, you know, you need to do some changes inside, and you have a family who cannot afford to make those changes, what's the remedy?
Madam Chair, I think that's an excellent question and a real concern that we've had as well. I think that what we'd like to do is set aside a portion of these monies to be used either as loans or as actual grants, if you will, to help some of those folks address those remediation hazards. For example, with regard to asthma, it might mean cleaning or repairing parts of the home that have mold or mildew in them, perhaps purchasing mattress covers or pillow covers. We know that dust mites and those things can be very serious allergens for people with asthma. In addition, we hope to work through some existing community resources as well and kind of leverage those as best we can so that if loans or remediation programs are available in the community, that we will try to hook those folks up with those resources as well.
Representative Schrader.
I have the same concerns as the chair about, you know, it's one thing to assess, but for $330,000, given the way we spend money at the state level, you're not going to be able to do anything in terms of, you know, correcting the problems, would be my read. I look on page 2 of one of our publications, if you will, on this, and it says the Health Division has not had adequate resources to develop, test, cost-effective intervention strategies to help prevent these occurrences. And I would ask myself, we already have a division that is already dealing with the lead, asthma, pesticide issues. If we don't, what have they been doing if we don't already have some sort of intervention strategy for the state of Oregon? I'm confused.
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, the funds that we have are actually federal grant funds, both in the asthma and the lead arena, and those are used primarily for developing ways to assess the problem and track it in the state. The asthma funds, in addition, we've been working to form a statewide coalition on asthma to try to improve clinical care for people with asthma, which is one of the major issues that these folks face, and also to try to address some of the preventive measures as well.
Madam Chair? I guess I would suggest that really belongs, that to me would be an OMAP function as opposed to the Public Health Division. I realize I'm new to this particular budget, and I apologize, but I just have some concerns that, again, for this particular division, you have so many things to do, and maybe it's time we started trying to help focus, you know, the energies. Not that you're doing a bad job or anything like that, but it just seems to me, again, that we're asking too many different things, and this is to me a health issue, not necessarily a public health issue, and I would expect the medical community to be developing strategies for dealing with asthma, and I don't see that as an epidemiological type of problem. It's nothing that is catching, if you will. Certainly there are predisposing factors to asthma that I think everyone's very well aware of, but so I'm probably not real excited about this particular grant.
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, I think what makes this a public health issue, particularly in the asthma arena, excuse me, is that this is focused on what's happening in the environment that might be a trigger for that child's asthma. And again, this is focused on children. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. So I think that is a little bit different from usually the direct one-on-one clinical care. And frankly, that's an issue that often falls through the cracks. People are focused on, you know, the individual patient in front of them, and often there aren't a lot of resources and ways to find out about what's happening in the home that is triggering, for example, repeat asthma exacerbations. I can tell you as a pediatrician that this is a very common problem, that, you know, you treat a child and you're treating the child and you don't seem to be making any headway. And often it's because there's some hazard in the home that you haven't been able to evaluate. So this will actually enable somebody to go in and actually look at what's happening in the home.
This begs another question. How are you going to access the home? Let's say you have a child who's asthmatic, and, you know, is it going to be voluntary? I mean, tell me, you know, I think we're getting into some other, what you might call some invasive issues, but how are you going to access the home and evaluate that home and do an assessment of that home, not only for the asthmatic, but, you know, you're talking lead poisoning and some other issues here.
Madam Chair, this will be a totally voluntary program, and the idea would be that these children would be identified. We're still nailing down the details of how that would happen, although we've been talking with some folks at CARE Oregon so that they could identify patients who might be possible candidates here. We would contact them and offer them the possibility of us helping with this home assessment, but it would be a completely voluntary thing on their parts, absolutely.
Would the same apply to lead poisoning, to lead?
Madam Chair, yes.
Madam Chair, I was just going to say, in addressing Representative Schrader's concerns about scope on the health division, we have, when we looked at this grant at the department level, sort of asked the same type of question, and what we looked at was the issues around the asthma and the lead poisoning, or whatever the right terminology is, are real concerns around our issues around multicultural health issues and what the governor's task force and some legislative interest was around those issues, and that's really what we grabbed onto for this particular grant. I know personally I share some of the same concerns Representative Schrader does around the scope, and have been asking some discussions or some questions and sort of having those discussions at the departmental level. But like I say, what grabbed us here was the tie to some already strong efforts that we feel are important around lead and asthma.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
My knowledge of this may be dated, so you may have to correct me. The populations we're most concerned about with an explosion of asthma and the potential for lead poisoning is usually ethnic in nature, in that it's substandard housing they're involved with, poor housing, old lead paint, mold, and Aspergillus, if I remember right, is the primary mold they have trouble with, dust mites, and this is a part of our population as a group that is at risk, more so than other parts of our population. The question I'm coming to here is, are you planning to focus on these ethnic groups to give them help, or is this going to be a broader-based one for the entire state?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, the grant requires, first of all, as has already been noted, this is a relatively small amount of money. I mean, obviously a lot for any of us individually, but to address the need, this is a relatively small amount of money. And the grant also requires that we focus on a low-income area, and for that reason we've chosen the northeast Portland area. I think you bring up a very important issue about working with communities of color, and I think that it's very important that the assessment that happens and whatever intervention is offered is done in a way that's culturally competent and appropriate for that particular group. So yes, we are planning on focusing on the groups in those particular areas.
If in fact this grant is used, and so it's a 5-year grant, I believe, isn't it? What length of time is it?
Three years. I believe it's three.
If you clearly identify serious problems, the next step would obviously be intervention, and this grant will not allow you to do any significant intervention.
That's
a good
question.
And so my next question is, have you contacted anybody in housing to see if they'd be willing to partner with you in anything you find?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I think that we've set aside in working up the budget, again, we haven't worked out all of the details completely, but we've been talking about setting aside approximately $100,000 of the funds for remediation work. And again, depending on what's needed, that, you know, that's only going to go so far. We have talked with the Department of
Housing and Community Services
to ask them about this. They were quite interested in the grant and felt that it was quite worthwhile and said that they would be happy to work with us. but that they didn't feel they had the breadth of expertise around asthma and lead poisoning, for example, that we have at the health division. So we do have that group who's willing to partner with us. The Multnomah County Health Department has some resources, particularly with regard to assessment and remediation of lead hazards, that they've also offered to work with us and contribute kind of in kind to the grant.
Yes. Madam Chair?
Representative.
Last question. Any interventions you do in this program to me are really immaterial. If the grant can actually find where the problem is, identify that problem, and then direct another department to deal with it, because that dealing with this kind of a problem is millions and millions of dollars, not $100,000. I would have no problem with this. I would see that within the scope of your department, to identify a major threat to the public, and to then try to the other sources of intervention. I don't say it is your job to go in and fix homes. Your job is to identify homes and put up standards, say these homes are unsafe, and these are the reasons they're unsafe, and this is the way we have to fix them. If that's the purpose of this grant, I would support it.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I think that very much is the purpose of this grant. We're not going to have anybody from the health division actually, you know, going out and remodeling homes, but there may be some ways that funding in the form of loans or grants or something like that can help those folks address those problems, but that's not something that we would anticipate that we would be doing ourselves at all.
Senator Hartung.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's kind of a two-part question. Representatives Schrader and Bates have mentioned it, but I personally am very suspect of federal grants these days. I'm hoping that the new administration will change that. An audit of the U.S. Department of Education over the last 3 years showed that there was mismanagement of funds of $450 million. So my question to you is, and this my deep-seated feeling is, you know, this is our money, even though it comes from the federal government. But what kind of reporting do you have to do to the federal agency, or what kind of oversight do they have? Do they even care what you do with the money or how it works?
Madam Chair, Senator Hartung, I have to confess that I don't have a great deal of experience with this particular agency, with Housing and Urban Development, but I believe that they require status reports something like every 6 months. Usually, and I can say from our experience with the Centers for Disease Control, for example, we will have somebody come out to actually see what we're doing here in Oregon, and they put us to some pretty close scrutiny.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further questions? And I'm going to go to Mr. Naughton. To Rick and then to Mr. Naughton. Rick.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of the request. We might add, based on the conversations here, that we would encourage the Health Division to work in conjunction with the Housing and Community Services Department on this project. I do know that there are federal funds available with Housing and Community Services, specifically for lead paint, rehabilitation of homes, and there's also funding in there for loans and grants for rehabilitation of homes for low-income Oregonians.
Mr. Olson, I think I'd like to have it a little more definitive than just to encourage. I would like to make sure that they are working with Housing and Community Development. There is a direct linkage between what they're proposing and what Housing and Community Development does. So I'd like to make this a little stronger than encourage.
And, Madam Chair, if I might, this committee could certainly require, and I think it's the intent of the Health Division, if the grant is awarded, to come back and ask for increased limitation. And at that time, again, if the grant is awarded, they could report how they are going to do that with housing, and have a report from the Housing and Community Services Department as well.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Representative Bates.
I'd like to add also, along the same lines, I think your recommendation is excellent, that they not be overly concerned about treatment of these kids. That is, I don't see that as a purvey of what they're supposed to be doing here. I hope they would focus their efforts on identification, serious of the quotation marks epidemic we're facing, and give that information out to the appropriate authorities so that, you know, OMAP and others could work with these families.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, absolutely, I concur with that. And, you know, our role would be perhaps if there is the need to link these folks with OMAP or some other, ensure that they have access to those resources. But absolutely, we're not going to get in the treatment business. So
thank you.
Sir, additional discussion on this? I'd like to still have Mr. Naughton.
Madam Chair, we are also recommending approval of this request. And your point, we would like to make sure that the Housing and Community Development Office works closely on this one.
Representative Schrader?
I don't think so, Madam Chair.
Oh, well, Representative Bates.
Yes.
Does he move?
We need a motion.
We
get to move this one?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move that the requested grant for the Health Department as listed be removed.
I caught him off guard.
Caught me off guard. This is a... request approve the submission of the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development grant application amount of $333,000 per year for up to 3 years for a grant entitled A Healthy Homes Demonstration Education Program.
And? And that you encourage the agency to work...
And encourage the agency to work carefully with Housing and Urban Development services, as well as to avoid actually being, you know, becoming involved with treatment of individuals suffering from asthma, lead poisoning, and similar diseases.
Representative Bates moved the approval to approve the submission of Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development grant application in the amount of $333,000 per year for up to 3 years for a grant entitled A Healthy Homes Demonstration and Education, and that the agency work in conjunction with the Housing and Community Development to assure that you've got that linkage, and also to work with the other agencies in the identification and carrying out this grant. Is there any other any questions?
Madam Chair, and they will submit a plan before the emergency board approves the funding.
Yes. Any other discussion? Any objection? Representative Schrader.
I apologize, Madam Chair, but colleagues, I think this is unfortunately a waste of money, well-intentioned. There's not enough dollars to do anything, quite frankly. $100,000 is planned to be set aside for work that should be the work of Housing Community Services. That's where this whole initiative should come from. It's a wide scope of activities, going to be checking into pesticides, lead, asthma, you name it, for $300,000 or maybe even just $200,000. There's no way they can do it. I think this brings false hope to the members of that community that there is going to be something done when there's been no dollars allocated by either the state or the federal government to actually do anything. So we're going to do once again the classic government job of assessing something or investigating something without being able to do anything about it. I think that's a wrong use of state dollars. It also implies a future state commitment. In conversations with members of this body that are much smarter, wiser, and have a longer history than I, used to be we were much more critical of federal grants, not because they're not bad ideas, the agency's not trying to do the right thing, and I appreciate that, but that it does imply future obligations, either by us or the federal government, and this has been pointed out, that's still all our tax dollars. This division is a well-meaning division, has way too many responsibilities. I think they need to be pared down. We should have one or two focuses, a biennium or two, so that they can do a great job at what they do, and I'm sure they're capable of doing that, but they're way spread out. So I think this is well-intentioned, but a wrong way to go, and I will be voting no.
Thanks. I guess I have to clarify that I'm the chair who pointed out that in our prior history that we did make a concerted effort to assure that those grants or the permission granted to agencies to apply for federal grants were indeed within the policy and the scope of the state of Oregon. And I so having said that, I want to support this because there is a problem out there. And even though it is $333,000 for 1 year, and the grant, life of the grant, if you're successful, is for 3 years. If there is the linkages between housing and community development that has the ability then to really respond to this issue because they have a lead-free project in their division, then perhaps by linking some of our resources together, we can have some impact. So for that reason, and recognizing that the problem does exist in Oregon, not only just in this community, and we do have children at risk, I'm supporting the application. Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, I hear what Representative Schrader is saying. We can approve the application for grant, and we can look at their plan submitted to the emergency board. Now, we do not agree with the plan. We don't feel they are being effective in solving some problems. We don't have to approve it at that time when they come back and ask for increase in limitation. So this is just give them a chance to look into what we can do to solve the problem. So we don't have to approve it. We don't agree with it. So I'm going to support it at this time.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Is there any other objection? So noted, Representative Schrader is a no, and with that, grant is approved. Carrier to pardon?
I want the committee to know that Representative Schrader picked my dog. You're an infection who's allergic. I appreciate it.
If we just move everyone out of the valley, I can cure a lot of asthma.
Now we have. They're talking about the next grant that's up.
Madam Chair, the next grant is Centers for Disease Control and Prevention grant, dealing with dental cavity prevention or caries prevention and dental sealant program. Dr. Whitney Payne is here, who is our with the health division. His position is funded jointly with the health division and OMAP. And so because dental issues are significant issues, not only as a public health issue, but also an issue for us in our major medical Oregon health plan programs. This grant targets 8 to 10-year-olds with community-based programs, and I'll let Dr. Payne describe it briefly and answer any questions that you have.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, I'm Dr. Whitney Payne, Dental Director, Oregon Health Division, Department of Human Services. The purpose of the grant that we are approaching the committee for approval is to improve statewide children's oral health and effectiveness by increasing core capacity and to reduce oral health disparities as they exist in the state by the implementation of school-linked and school-based dental sealant programs. The disparities that I've just referred to are the burden of the disease are concentrated in our children of poverty, and according to OMAP statistics, almost a third of Oregon's children are eligible for Medicaid enrollment.
Okay.
This fits quite nicely with the mission of the Center for Child and Family Health within the Health Division. For this grant would allow the attainment of one of the objectives of the center, which is to provide leadership for improving health outcomes for women, children, and families through sharing the availability, quality, and accessibility of health services and health promotion. Briefly, the scope of this grant would allow for dental sealants to be targeted to the most vulnerable children's group, and this children's group is the 8 to 10-year-olds in low-income areas, especially in areas of high cavities or caries incidence. This is particularly the time that when permanent teeth are beginning to erupt into the oral cavity, and this is the time that are most likely to develop these cavities, especially if the child does not live in an optimally water fluoridated community.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair.
Bates. I mean, excuse me.
I think we both messed up.
That was a hair.
All right, get back.
Partridge. We've seen so seldom.
I know. Oh, it's getting ugly in here.
Doctor, it's Friday.
All right.
I understand that completely.
Is this a fluoridation program? Is that what it is?
No, sir, it is not.
Well, can you explain what a sealant program is a little bit more?
Okay, very well. Sealant is a plastic protective coating that goes on the top of the chewing surface of the tooth, primarily the molars of the teeth. This is the area of the tooth that is least affected by the benefits of water fluoridation. So the sealant program, I guess you can say graphically, is that it'll protect at least one-fifth of what water fluoridation would cover on four-fifths of any individual tooth. It's quite effective. It's been established in a few states. The efficacy and actually cost-effectiveness of dental sealant programs that are school-based or school-linked have been shown to be quite effective and certainly quite cost-effective for the community that's involved.
Representative Bates, I have to ask him a question. Now, is this the sealant? Do you know about it?
I am not an expert on dental care. I've heard about this, and as far as I know, there's no health hazards associated with it whatsoever. It's a simple sealant that's applied directly to the tooth.
That is correct.
Is that correct? That's something
yes.
I know about?
And just chemically sealed to the tooth, yes.
Okay. Madam Chair? My children have had sealants on their teeth, and they're excellent in preventing cavities.
The other expert in medicine, Reverend Schrader.
I haven't applied much dental sealant recently to my patients. But once again, Madam Chair, unfortunately, I tend to have some concerns. I don't see the ability to follow through with this. I would be the opposite, I guess, of the good representative from Southern Oregon. The Medford portion of Southern Oregon, that I would say we should be, this is an agency based on the testimony we had where fluoridation should be the focus. You know, the dental sealant is like an after-the-fact type of approach. I appreciate the testimony that the fluoridation is not as effective in some of the areas that this hopefully would treat. But again, limited resources, I don't see that this is the right path we should be going down. The focus of the agency should be looking at the fluoridation aspects, seeing if that's actually a good way to go or not. Certainly, historically, that has been the better way to spend our limited public health dollars to get best dental care for our citizens. Also, point out to the committee that the school-based health clinics are constantly on the chopping block here. And here we're trying to do, not only can we not provide basic physical health care, now we're looking at trying to augment care with dental treatment. And I'm sympathetic, but it seems like a contradiction in terms. We're cutting back on potentially school-based health clinics, and yet we're going to put a whole other layer of health care in the dental arena into the schools. It doesn't sound like we are going to be able to sustain this. So again, I think this is well-meaning. I don't think this project has any sustainability whatsoever. It diverts and dilutes the focus of the health division, and I will probably be voting no. Sorry.
Mr. Olson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of this request.
Kelly.
Madam Chair, for the record, Kelly Fields with the Department of Administrative Services, and we too are recommending approval of this request.
I have a question
for you,
Madam Chair. We all believe in dental cavities prevention, but can this fund be used for the fluoridation of waters in our state rather than going to the sealant program?
There are two components to this particular grant. One, which is Part A, to increase the infrastructure, which is to establish statewide leadership for initiatives and oral health or dental, and oral health dental promotion and prevention initiatives. The second part of this particular grant is provided into optional format where the state may select water fluoridation activities or sealant activities. Certainly, we have had our attempts at statewide water fluoridation through previous legislative action, and at this particular time, the Health Division is choosing to pursue the dental sealant program in lieu of the water fluoridation, which I think, of course, my personal bias aside, that water fluoridation is the answer, to concur with Representative Schrader. But dental sealants is secondly the most beneficial in caries prevention and closing the disparities between oral health that exists in the state, especially within our children.
So why does the health department decide to go to the second most effective program rather than go to the most effective prevention program?
If we can certainly keep this one in the scope of the grant, I can say that at least on the optimistic side, the state of Oregon has 24% of its population receiving the benefits of optimally fluoridated community water. But by the same token, we still have a tremendous incidence of dental cavities. and oral health disparities among these particular age groups that we're experiencing. These are primarily the groups that are not receiving the benefits of water fluoridation. We find that this particular grant will give us the avenue to establish that particular infrastructure and use it at the community level, thereby not obligating the state to future fiscal activities in this regard.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of time, the House is going to convene at 10. I'll move to approve the submission of the Federal Department Health and Human Services Centers for Disease Control and Prevention grant in the application amount of $280,000 per year for up to 5 years for dental caries prevention and dental sealant program for children.
Representative Patridge moved that we approve the submission of Federal Department of Health and Human Services Center for Disease Control and Prevention grant application in the amount of $280,000 per year for up to 5 years for dental caries prevention and dental sealant program for children. Any objection?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Schrader is noted as a no. Are there any other no's? So approved. Carrier,
yep,
Patrick, would you like to carry this to Four Ways?
I'd be happy to.
We have one other, if we can do it. Well, I don't know if we can be very quick. Let's get this one quickly.
Okay. The last grant is from the Office of Drug and Alcohol Abuse Program. Barbara's here, and I'll let her take the lead on this one.
For the record, my name is Barbara Simaglio. I'm the administrator of the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs. Our request today is to gain approval to make an application for a grant from the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention for an underage drinking law discretionary program. The amount of the application is $400,000 for a two-year period beginning in September of 2001. The application is due to the federal government on May 21st. The purpose of the grant is to reduce underage drinking, which is central to our mission. The bulk of this money will go directly to three communities, which would be chosen.
What are the three communities?
The three communities would be Corvallis, Seaside, and Umatilla County, which are three areas that have had historically high rates of underage drinking.
Wait a minute. Corvallis, Seaside, and where?
Umatilla County.
I can understand Seaside.
Yes.
Corvallis is seasonal, so I mean, I'm trying to... That's why I said what I did.
Engineering program?
Huh?
Part of the engineering program?
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, the reason Corvallis was selected is because one of the local partners that would be a recipient of this grant is the University of Oregon. And it is a... Oregon State.
Ouch.
I'm a no.
Ouch.
Yes, I'm a no. I'm a no.
Madam Chair, may I remind the committee that if the administrator comes from a different state, may not have a rich history.
We don't have those animals. and Madam Chair, The genesis of this application is that there is a task force on underage drinking in the state of Oregon that has a number of partners, including the Liquor Control Commission, the Commission on Children and Families, the Criminal Justice Commission, the Department of Transportation, State Police, and Oregon Student Safety on the Move. This task force has asked the office to develop this application and has been instrumental in targeting these communities because of the problems that they are experiencing in underage drinking. As I said, the money would be granted to these three local communities to establish a targeted focus on preventing underage drinking, and it would involve community teams that are already in place to address this issue. What it would really do is give them a two-year period to target and focus their resources in order to address this problem.
Patrick?
Madam Chair, I'd move to approve the submission of a Federal Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention grant application, the amount of $400,000 total for 2 years for reducing underage drinking, provided that the director during her day hours wears a Bucky the Beaver something for the next month and sleep with a Bucky the Beaver stuffed animal.
Representative Patrick moves the that we approve the submission of a federal Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention grant application in the amount of $400,000 for 2 years for reducing underage drinking, and he has some other requests. And the chair, because she's also at Bucky at Beaver's there, and would grant and would encourage the administrator to follow the direction of the members of this committee. Are there any objections? Hearing none, approved. You can come up to my office and we'll give you
a Madam Chair, I'm sure the director, who is also a beaver, may have a word left.
It's in trouble, yeah.
Okay.